God's word. Father, we're so grateful for our time together. We're grateful to worship in this new space. You're the same Lord, so we're really not worshiping differently, but we are grateful to be able to worship in a room that's free from distraction. And we ask now, Lord, as we open up your word, we ask the Spirit of God to impress upon us the word of God so that we can grow more conformed to the image of God for the glory of God. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Years ago, I read an article titled Mental Strategies of Elite High Altitude Climbers, Overcoming Adversity on Mount Everest. And after reading it, I became convinced that the most mentally tough athletes in the world are high altitude climbers. Climbing Everest actually takes about 2 months. Climbers burn over 10,000 calories a day. Most of them lose between 10 and 20 pounds. Only 60% of the climbers who begin the journey actually end up reaching the summit. In 2024, amazingly, 9 climbers did not make it to the summit or down from the summit. They passed away in their attempt to reach the pinnacle. Frostbite, altitude sickness, avalanches, sleep deprivation, all of these things are common during the climb. The article said one thing that separated successful climbers from those who failed, it wasn't strength. It was mindset. It was the ability to stay focused. It was the ability to persevere and press on in the midst of the adversity. It was the ability to block out the fears of the climb. And here's what struck me. If you're going to make it to the top, you have to think differently. And that's exactly what Paul's saying in Philippians chapter 3. The Christian life, in many ways, it's harder than Everest. We face trials, we face temptations, we face spiritual fatigue, we face suffering, we face persecution. The list goes on and on. And Paul says, if we're going to reach the goal, if we're going to make it to the summit, so to speak, it's not just about passion or effort. We need a different mindset. And the mindset we need is the mindset of maturity. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 15 really quickly. It's on the screen. It actually says, let those of us who are mature, those of us who, meaning mature, maturity in the Christian life isn't marked by how long you've been saved, but are you making wise decisions? Are you mature? Are you godly? Let the godly people in the room, those who are seeking to grow in their faith and in their walk, let those of us who are mature think this way. And this leads us to the big idea that I want you to take home with you this week. Here's the big idea. The big idea is simply this, to bring God glory. And that's where the maturity starts in your life, just so you know. The mark of maturity in the Christian life is simply that. I just want to bring God glory with my life. The way I parent, the way I work, the way I serve in the body of Christ, it's not for my glory. It's not so people look at me and say, wow, what a great mom or dad they are. The mark of maturity in the Christian life is I just want people, when they say me, they really don't even see me. They see a man or a woman who is marked by the Lord. Does that make sense? So to bring God glory and reach the goal, here's the deal. I must learn to think differently. I must learn to think differently. This morning, I'm going to give you 4 ways that you and I must learn to think differently. These are not natural, so we can bring God glory. Number one, kill complacency. Kill complacency. And the reason why we must kill complacency is because Christ is too good to coast. Look at verse 12. Paul says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Jesus Christ had made me his own. Now think about the Apostle Paul in his life for a moment. If you've grown up in church, just try to think about all those stories that you heard about regarding the Apostle Paul. This is a guy who planted between 13 and 17 churches. This is a man who trained dozens of people for ministry. Now think like Timothy and Titus and Silas and John Mark and Tychicus and Priscilla and Aquila. He trained dozens of people, men and women both, for ministry. This is a man who endured incredible hardship. I mean, think about this man's life. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned multiple times. He was snake bitten, shipwrecked. He eventually died as a martyr. But what does Paul say in verse 12? He's like, I'm not satisfied. Why? Why? Because Christ was his comparison. And he knew, like, I'm not there yet. I'm not Christ-like. I'm not 100% Christ-like yet. See, what Paul, despite his amazing ministry, here's what's really awesome about Paul that we can kind of learn something from right here. Paul didn't measure his ministry success by buildings and budgets and crowds and the number of churches he planted or even his credentials. See, Paul longed to be like Christ. It's our mission statement if you've been around City Light Church for any amount of time. He wanted to be like Christ. What does it mean to be a disciple? Mark 8:34. It means to deny yourself, love Christ supremely. It means to take up the cross, live for Christ sacrificially. It means to follow after him, lead like Christ strategically. Like Paul was all about that right there. I want to love Christ supremely. I want to live for Christ sacrificially. That's why he would plant all those churches and go through all that suffering. And he's like, and I want to lead like Christ strategically. I just want to see more and more people come into the kingdom of God. And so that's why Paul killed complacency. That's why Paul's like, I'm not going to coast. Christ is too good to coast. And I think sometimes in the Christian life, when we get like something like this, this building, it's like, man, it's been, I'll be honest with you, I am exhausted. I was even here last night till 9:30. I mean, I was last night, and I'm not trying to be that guy, but I'm like, I bet I worked close to 70 hours this week. I am exhausted. Some of you are exhausted. Ministry, work, family relationships. And you've been there, done that in the Christian life. And you know what the temptation is? Is, yeah, been there, done that. It's time to coast. We got it. We've arrived. But notice what Paul says after all of his successes. He says, I press on. I press on. That's a hunting word. You hunters out there, you know what that means. It means I pursue. I'm going after it. I'm going to track it down. He's like, I press on to make it my own. This is aggressive, energetic mindset. I'm chasing. I'm capturing. And here's the deal. When Jesus grabs hold of your life, when you realize he's made you his own, complacency has to die. When you realize who you were, and that's the Apostle Paul. If you read the verses above this, Paul kind of gives like his old resume of who he was. And now that Christ has captured him, when Christ truly captures you, when you see who you were apart from Christ and now who you are because of Christ, when Christ captures you in that way, you are going to kill complacency. You don't coast for the kingdom. Instead, you press. You lean in. You grow. You fight. Complacency in the Christian life, we get confused sometimes. We think complacency in the Christian life is weakness. I'm just a little weak right now. No, complacency in the Christian life is warfare. That is the enemy coming after you, seeking to devour you. So you need to kill it. And that's exactly what Paul did. Not because he was driven by guilt, but because he was captured by grace. You might want to write that down. I kill my complacency, not because I'm driven by guilt, but it's because I'm captured by this grace. That my Lord would choose me. That he would enlist me into his kingdom to do amazing things all for his glory. So let me just ask you a question, a personal question this morning, City Light Church family and guests. What is it in your life that causes you dissatisfaction today? What causes you dissatisfaction? You know, when I think about what causes me dissatisfaction, it's the low checking account. It's maybe the unfair treatment by others. Maybe it could be the chronic pain. But for Paul, what pained him most was just this fact that, man, I'm just not living like Christ. And that is the mark of spiritual maturity, and that's what we're called to. This morning, if you want to live with purpose, if you want to keep climbing when it gets steep, then you must kill complacency because Christ is too good to coast. So you might want to write this down. Complacency dies when Christ becomes my daily desire. Complacency dies when Christ becomes my daily desire. To bring God glory and reach the goal, I must learn to think differently. Notice the second way you must think differently so you can bring God glory. Number two, focus on the future. Christ is worth the work. Focus on the future. Christ is worth the work. Look down at verse 13. Notice now what Paul says in verse 13. He says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. You know, even after, this is crazy, after all his ministry, after all the accomplishments, Paul's like, I haven't arrived yet. The goal of Christ's likeness, it's still out there, so I'm not stopping. So what does he do? Look at verse 13. He says, but one thing I do. I haven't made this thing out. So I forget what lies behind, and I strain forward to what lies ahead. So what this is telling us, this is really important, is this. If you and I want to bring God glory, we have to focus on the future. And focusing on the future starts with forgetting the past. Did you get that? If you want to bring God glory, your mindset needs to be future-oriented. And the way you can be future-oriented is you need to forget about the past. So tonight, two of the best words in all of sports, what are they? Game 7. Come on. I don't like either team, but I like a good game 7. Tonight is game 7 of the NBA Finals. Some of the guys on the court already, they have some rings. They have some NBA championships. But tonight, those rings don't help them. Championships from past years don't win championships in the present. And I share that with you because spiritually, it's the same. Listen, some of you really need to hear this. Bible degrees, past ministry roles, years of your faithful service, they mean nothing right now if you're not stretching out toward Christ. That's what Paul's saying here. It's not about past accomplishments. Sometimes I would say in the Christian life, our past accomplishments are the very thing that cause us to fail. Neither the Thunder nor the Pacers have ever won a championship. Neither the Thunder nor the Pacers are looking at their past failures to keep them from getting out there tonight and playing hard, but they're also not looking at their past successes, thinking that because we've had some success in the past, we're going to win this thing. Some of you this evening, or this morning, I'm used to evening, I've been doing this 5 o'clock thing. Some of you this morning, listen, you need to forget your past successes, and I would say you even need to forget your past failures. So, some of you stare more at your sin than you do your Savior, and that's really dangerous. Your past sin. You're so overwhelmed by your past sin, you're staring more at your past sin than you do your Savior. You wallow in maybe what you did instead of walking in who Christ says you now are. And Paul, what Paul is drawing to our attention is we need to forget the past successes, we need to forget the past failures, because condemnation keeps us stuck, complacency keeps us lazy, both of which keep us from Christ. Did you get that? So what do we do? He tells us in verse 13, what do we do then? If I have to forget the past successes and the past failures, what do I do? Verse 13 says, strain forward to what lies ahead. Strain forward to what lies ahead. So it's the image of a runner leaning into the tape, stretching with everything that he has to finish well. You can't do that when you're looking over your shoulder. Whenever a runner looks over his shoulder, he slows down. There's the danger of drifting. He could run out of his lane. He could become disqualified. And in the Christian life, looking back can do the same exact thing. It can slow your growth. Like, hey, I'm looking back at my past successes or failures. It's slowing you down. It's stealing your confidence. It's shifting your focus. Now listen, this doesn't mean we erase the past. It's there. But our eyes are forward. Our gaze is fixed because our strength is in Christ. So maybe you should write this down. I chase after Christ. I chased after Christ because Christ chased after me. That's why. We chase after Christ. We focus on Christ. We are expending ourselves toward Christ because this is the very thing that Christ did for me. He came to this world, that's the gospel, when I was needy and separated from a holy God, and he chased after me. He clothed himself in humanity, gave up his position of glory to go to the cross of Calvary to atone for our sin. And if we confess our sins, God's word says that the holy God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we are cleansed from unrighteousness and we receive a righteousness into our account, our spiritual bank account, which allows a holy God to accept us into his kingdom, not because of our goodness, but because of the goodness of Christ that was given to us. That's why we chase after Christ. Because he chased after us. To bring God glory and reach the goal, I must learn to think differently. Notice the third way that you must learn to think differently so you can bring God glory. Number three, pursue the prize. Pursue the prize. Christ is the prize and the power. Christ is the prize and he is the power. They go hand in hand. Don't forget it. He is the prize. The pursuit is Christ. He is the prize, but he gives you power. Look at verse 14. It says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul is using the same word in verse 14 that he used previously in verse 12. He says, I press on toward the goal. It's this, again, it's this aggressive pursuit. Remember, think hunter. It's an aggressive pursuit. It's a relentless focus. It's a I will not give up. It's that climber on Everest. He's fighting. He's determined. He's persevering. Nothing is going to keep him back. He says, I press on toward the goal. And what's the prize? What is the goal? It's Christ's likeness. It's Jesus Christ himself. You see, Paul's motivation wasn't human applause. It wasn't human approval. the motivation is Jesus. Not just serving Jesus, but seeing Jesus. Not just running for Jesus, but running toward Jesus. You know, you ask any basketball player what motivates them to push hard in practice. It's the championship that's still out there. That prize makes the sweat worth it. The serious athlete, not the one who just shows up, but the serious athlete is the one who runs hard to the end because their eyes are on the prize. And in the Christian life, we're no different. Paul says, run, Christian. Strain yourself. Sweat a little bit. Get exhausted for the kingdom of God. Press. Pursue. No, this isn't about earning acceptance before God. It's not about earning salvation. Don't mishear me. But it is about embracing the Savior. Jesus is the prize. And he is the power. And just like athletes, those pursuing Christ's likeness, listen, folks, we need desire, we need method, we need time, we need exertion, we need repetition, we need self-denial. That's any great athlete. Time, exertion, repetition, self-denial. We do it in athletics. We do it for other things that are not eternally focused. Why would we not take on that same mindset when it comes to us pursuing our Christ-likeness? That's why tomorrow morning we should pray. That's why tomorrow morning, or sometime this week, we maybe should even think about fasting. That's why tomorrow morning we should open up God's word and study and meditate upon it and memorize it. It's not duty. It's not checklist Christianity. It's pursuit of the prize so that we can have the power. So you might want to write this down. Run like someone's waiting at the finish line because he is. Listen, tomorrow, ever run a marathon? Anybody? Maybe a half marathon? Jake just ran a half marathon. Give it up for Jake France. Didn't know he had it in him. I'm not going to lie. Didn't know he had it in him. But Lauren was there waiting for him, taking pictures, tracking him throughout the race. And there's this motivation, and I've done it before, and there's this motivation when you know someone's waiting for you at the finish line, and especially when you can see them from far off, like you start going a little bit harder. You start pushing a little bit more. And listen, Christians, Jesus Christ is waiting for us at the finish line. Isn't that awesome? He's waiting. He's looking. He's watching. He's longing. We should run like he's waiting. To bring God glory and reach the goal, I must learn to think differently. Notice the fourth and final way. You must think differently so you can bring God glory. Number four, keep the course because Christ has more for you. Keep the course. Keep the course. Think about the guy that's trying to ascend Everest. Rule number one, stay on course. We've all read about tragedies, hikers, climbers. I just read one last week. Get off course. Doesn't matter if you're in a desert or on a snowy mountain peak. Once you get off course, you are doomed. Even the most experienced climbers. I was reading about a hiker recently. An experienced hiker gets off course. She ends up passing away. Listen, loved ones, experienced Christian in the room. Keep on course. Christ has more for you. I mean, Paul has just described the relentless pursuit of the prize of Christ's likeness. Now in verses 15 and 16, he's giving us one final challenge. He's like, don't lose focus. Don't stop running. Don't give up now. Look at verse 15. He says, let those of us who are mature think this way. What do you mean? What way? Think the way that kills complacency. Think the way that forgets about what's behind. Think that way. Think about pressing forward. That's maturity. Mature believers, loved ones, aren't going to be content with a new building to just gather on Sunday and listen to a really good worship leader and have 3 points, or I guess 4 points, in a poem sermon, right? Mature believers don't coast. They keep climbing, they keep running, they keep reaching, and they keep the course. Look at verse 16. How do we know that? Look what it says. He closes out with this whole keep the course thing. He says, and only let us hold true to what we have attained. You know, a mountain climber, you know, if they want to get to the summit, they're not going to look back, and they're also not going to stop at the last checkpoint. They're going to keep going. Runners don't pull up before the finish line. They lean in. They keep going. And Paul's urging us, don't drift, Christian, from what you've gained in Christ. Don't give up ground. Hold true to what you have attained. This is a call not to perfection, but to perseverance. Listen, if you're new to the faith or if you've been saved for 25, 30 years, the Christian life is not always glamorous. There will be times of discouragement. There will be distraction. There will be spiritual dryness. You won't always feel on fire for your Heavenly Father. You won't always feel victorious over your temptation. You won't always feel like pressing on, but Paul is telling us, hold the line, stay the course, don't let go of what Christ has already done in you. Why? Because Christ has more for you. He has more joy, he has more growth, he has more purpose, he has more ministry, he has more people for you to impact. So, City Light, we need to keep the course. We need to keep the course. We haven't reached the summit. This building is not the summit. Not the summit. Stay the course. And you might want to write this down. Stay the course because Christ is still calling you upward. None of us are done. If you know Christ as your Savior, you are not done yet. Stay the course because Christ has more for you. This building is a blessing. Aren't you thankful for it? I am. It's a blessing. But it is not the goal. This new space is not the finish line. I would say this new space is the starting block. It's not a monument that we have built. It's a mission base for who we're called to reach. As Tim Keller often reminds us, the church doesn't exist for itself. It exists for the city. Did you get that? We don't exist for just us. We don't exist for a high-impact worship service, as I said before, with great worship and great preaching. It's not just for us. Although I love it. I love it. But we exist for this city. We're not here to celebrate our comfort. We're here to leverage this building for the lost. So like Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, we press on. We press on, not toward the padded seats that are going to be up there next week, okay? We have nice padded seats up there next week. We're going to need some of you to sit down here, okay? Come early. Maybe that will get some of you here by, you know, 9:58 so you can get a nice padded seat. Listen, we don't press on toward padded seats. We don't press on toward beautiful cafes. We press on for the goal of Christlikeness. We are not a cruise ship. We're a battleship, and we're on mission. We exist to preach Christ. We exist to proclaim Christ. We exist to be conformed into the image of Christ so that we will bring others to Christ. That's the win. That's the summit. So yes, we thank God for this space. Amen? I thank God for this space. But we press on to something far greater, which is becoming more like Jesus and building others to do the same. Let's stand together. Father, this is your house. This is your house. And Father, ultimately though, the third person of the Trinity lives inside of us. We are the temple. We are the building. And so would you do a work in us? Make us more like your son, Jesus Christ. Help us never to be content with where we've been or what we've accomplished in the past. Help us not to be content with buildings and spaces and programs and cool coffee shops. Help us not to be content with the great relationships that we have through our small group. Lord, help us never to find contentment in any of these things, but other than the one that brings true contentment, and that is Jesus. Make us more like him. Help us to love him more each and every day of our life, and help us to use this new place to make more followers of Jesus. For that we pray. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.